G'day folks, welcome to Stick With It, APA's podcast for its pilots. Today I have APA's welfare team joining me. In my brief time working for APA, the one area that I've become quite passionate about promoting as much as we can is the welfare team within APA. They do a mountain of work that's unsung because of the confidentiality that goes with it, but I think it's always valuable to remind our members of the value of the welfare team, who they are, the services that they offer, and anything else that they would like to add. So joining me today, I've got Hugh Windsor, Shane Kennedy, and Nada Ilkiv. Those of you who remember, Hugh was a 747-400 captain. That's how I remember him before his two stints within APA Welfare. Shane Kennedy, again, for those more of my vintage in the early noughties, when you used to go and pick up your amendments in QCC, she was working in Flight Ops HR across the way. And Nada was responsible as part of flight crew licensing. So whenever you sent through your medical or your license, Nada was one of the people that you would have dealt with. So they've all had vast experience within Qantas, and now they've lended that expertise and experience to us here at APA. So welcome to the three of you. Now, I know that you've all worked for, as we said, a long time for the airline prior to becoming part of the APA welfare team. So I'm curious, what advantage do you think that gives you when working with our members in that welfare portfolio?
Okay, well, I might start. This is Shane. I think there are quite a few advantages working in HR for flight operations for this role. I think learning that every day is not the same. There's a lot of matters that the pilots face, and we can be asked questions and give support on a lot of issues regarding their work and personal lives. Understand the importance of confidentiality, which you spoke about briefly. Understanding the relevant EA clauses in relation to some HR issues such as sick leave, parental leave, loss of license. I think there's quite a few advantages: a knowledge of the Qantas processes, good relationships with our Qantas managers that we had or developed over several years, the depth of experience that we've all had. Hugh was with Qantas for 30 years, Nada 31, and me 29, and a general idea of the pilot's life, being away from their family and friends, and all the issues that can be faced at slip ports, upline sick. And another example I think I've learned over the years is that we have to remember not to take on everyone's problems, that we have to sort of work as much support as we can. This job, you can burn out really quickly, and you have to learn to separate probably the cases that you deal with. It's not that you can't have empathy and feel sad and have a cry, but I think that you can burn out quite easily if you try to take on everyone's problems at the same time.
Has anyone else got to add to that?
No, I think what Shane said is very right. The overall experience of having worked in the Qantas system brings a great understanding of what everybody faces, our membership faces day to day. And it is a great advantage having that experience there.
Okay. So in terms of contacting the welfare team, what's the best way for a member to get in touch with you if they require assistance?
Mark, I'll answer that one. Directly contacting APA Welfare on the welfare line 24/7 on 02830777666. We've also got the APA website and the welfare, you know, through a welfare submission, you can go through there. We've got the email, welfare@apa.org.au. And the other way is as well, you know, we've got existing cases that they contact us through our direct welfare phones. And so each member, team member, will get direct call from their existing member that we're looking after.
Okay, great. Thank you. Now, I'm sure that in some cases it takes a lot of courage to get to the point of reaching out for help. And equally, I'm sure that, you know, one of the concerns that our members may have is confidentiality. It's very real for them. So can you guys provide some insight into the safeguards and firewalls that are in place to ensure that confidentiality is honoured?
Mark, yeah, it's probably one of the most important things that welfare does to gain the trust of the members and also gain the trust of not only the APA team but also Qantas, is that we're known for keeping the confidentiality. Importantly, the membership should know that our reporting structure here at APA is that the access to any records we have is only available to the welfare team. Absolutely nobody else, and we run actually off a separate database. All our data is kept separately. And not only that, in terms of our ability to work, it has long been the philosophy of APA Welfare that we report directly to the president and the president only for assistance with welfare matters which may go outside the normal channels. And that has worked successfully over the years. And we've been given the independence by the executive and the president over many changes in the Guard at APA. And they understand that. And that's really, really important. So it's this team and very much that holds those confidences. And we treasure that very much. So that is the primary way we do business. We hold those things very close to our chest, and we only go outside those parameters when we're faced with the danger of loss of life or property, and then we have a duty of care to go outside those guidelines, and that runs with every sort of self-help organisation, whether it be Lifeline, your doctors, your psychologists. They all have that duty of care, so we work under the same parameters.
Yes, look, I was talking in another podcast today with Andrew Stewart, who's part of PAN, and he said exactly the same thing as you. So obviously it's a consistent approach across all sort of mental health and welfare facilities in terms of how they operate.
Absolutely.
So in terms of, obviously, without breaking that confidentiality, can you, I guess, give us a bit of an insight into how many cases are active at any one time within your portfolio?
We can range anywhere up to 100. At the moment, we're at 75. But we need to keep in mind that the number of cases really isn't important. It's the time that we need to spend with each member.
Yep.
And it depends on the complexity of their issues.
And yeah, Shane mentioned upwards of 100 over the last 6 months or so. We saw cases rise to in the 90s. They've dropped off a little bit in the last 2 months. But they're regularly and definitely above the 74 number of cases on a regular basis.
And out of interest, in COVID, what was sort of the peak of welfare cases in COVID?
Yeah, we ran at about 140 cases max during the COVID period, Mark. You know, that wasn't only actually looking after people, but welfare was engaged in building or developing webinars, seminars. We did a program with a headhunting firm in the city for developing CVs and approach the job market for those members. So that kept us very busy as well. But the numbers did rise quite dramatically.
So can you give us again, you know, not without breaking the confidentiality, but I'm interested in, I guess, some examples of the types of issues that you can help our members with, I guess, just to try and make sure that our members, you know, if they think that they might need some help, I guess, sort of the certain types of garden variety areas that you will help them with.
Yeah, Mark, I'll answer that one. We support, to support our members, we cover a lot of areas, physical and psychological illnesses, loss of license applications and outcomes, relationship issues, alcohol and drug cases, HIMS, superannuation entitlements, disciplinary support, different to the IR, legal, referral services to doctors, psychologists, financial advisors, liaison with legal. We work closely with legal as well if the cases are requiring further assistance, and also liaison with our Qantas group managers as well, just to assist us with issues. Membership greetings, assisting or representing safety and technical, supporting members and training matters, seems to be on the rise at the moment. Family liaison for general matters and after the death of a member, bail notices, retiree liaison, and of course liaison with PAM.
A wide range of services.
Wide range.
Yeah, I was going to say that's an incredibly broad area. So, so I'm assuming obviously, you know, you guys, you know, potentially assist initially with the queries and stuff, but you obviously then have a vast array of contacts in all these different areas where you can potentially direct a member to get additional assistance. It's not just dealing with the three of you.
You're absolutely right, Mark. You know, we have built up over the years, whether it be the previous, under Mike Hawke, I think we started to develop a more professional type of approach to the care of the membership under the welfare banner. And with that has developed the relationship with a lot of external providers, not only in the psychological area, but in the general medical area and financial and that sort of thing. So, yeah, we're very proud of what we've developed here.
How important, I guess, is it having a good relationship with the airline in helping to achieve positive outcomes for members. And I ask the question, obviously, you know, we can be having a disagreement with the company on industrial issues, but we still have that relationship from a welfare perspective. So how important does that matter? And also, has that relationship been built up over decades, which has really helped out?
Yep. So as Hugh mentioned, it's really important that we as a department have built up a reputation for trust, knowledge, empathy and confidentiality. And the positive relationships we have with Qantas and with the new performance-based managers really helps us in supporting the members and with the Qantas management as well, that we feel that we can pick up the phone and talk to them at any time if we have permission off the member for a start, and if they can help the member resolve their issues.
And Mark, I think it's also important to note that we've also taken the philosophy that in April Welfare that we do not cross into the IR or legal side of the fence. We stay on the fence or on the membership side, so that if a case develops into a legal or industrial matter, we will continue to support the member in their welfare area. And what that does is, A, helps the member through the process, but also says to Qantas, welfare is looking after the person as an individual as opposed to the industrial case, and they respect us for that. They know that we're not going to jump up and down and cause a disturbance in an issue because we're there to look after the member. If there's to be any argy-bargy industrially, we leave that to the professionals. That's not our job. We're walking a very fine line between the welfare and the industrial, and that is well respected and understood by Qantas managers.
Yeah, so there's a real clear delineation between the two, and obviously both sides understand that relationship.
Absolutely.
Can I just add a little bit to that? Just to reiterate that whenever we do get either Qantas involved or legal involved, we will not partake in any discussions with any of them unless we have approval from our members and they are open to it. And we will discuss what we need to discuss with them first before we embark on talking to legal or any Qantas group. So that's really important for them to know. We won't just sort of say, just leave it with me, I'll discuss anything with them. We won't do anything like that unless we get the permission and we've discussed this with the actual member as to what we're going to ask and what we're going to request or what we need to do.
Okay. Oh, that's a very good clarification. So thanks, Nada, and thanks everyone else. Can you explain to us the relationship, if there is one, between APA Welfare, PAN and EAP in terms of, they seem to obviously be, they're different organisations, but do they work in coordination, concert, in spite of each other? I'm just curious how that relationship sort of exists.
To best answer your question, when it comes to EAP, no, we have no working relationship with EAP. They are, like every big company in Australia, a service provider. And I think basically the company is required to have that sort of thing. Pilots traditionally don't use EAP very much, although I've heard from Qantas Medical in recent times, there appears to have been an uptick in the use of EAP by pilots. Often they believe, pilots find that EAP, there's an inconsistency of the counsellor or psychologist, and it's very difficult to, when pilots go away, come back, and the time off that the counsellor may have to coordinate. So they're probably better for things like relationship issues or financial issues than they would be for training or flight operations related issues, because they don't understand the system. That which brings us probably to PAN now, which is an organisation funded 50-50 by both Qantas and APA. We halve the bills, and PAN works independently of both organisations, and they pride themselves in that independence. And they're primarily a listening service who can provide the members with a direction where to go to seek assistance. So all those PAN people are volunteers and trained accordingly. And APA does everything that PAN does. But where we're different is that we can supply the assistance straight off the bat rather than having to direct people, because we have many of the facilities, whether it be the IR, the legal, the entitlement issues under the EA, available to us through our the resources we have here at APA. So we're probably one step on from PAN, but it's a wonderful organisation, PAN, because it is a listing and a very good sounding board for the members when they're out on the line.
Okay. So I guess it's really up to the member as to which way they want to go, and I guess potentially talk to colleagues or, yeah, I guess they have to make that decision for themselves as to who they wish to contact.
Yes, that's true. But I think that APA Welfare, as Hugh said, we can provide additional services,
yep,
and that are in-house, such as legal and safety and technical if required, as well as our welfare services. PAN volunteers are great, but sometimes they may not know processes like the loss of licence process, about sick leave, debiting and that sort of information. And if they can't find it themselves, it's a good idea to come to APA Welfare because we've had lots of experience in looking at those things and helping and supporting people in those issues.
Now, I know Hugh is retiring for the second time and his replacement is starting in a few weeks. So as I guess the first thing I'd like to say again for the second time on behalf of, I think, all the members, Hugh, your contribution to the welfare portfolio and also in your role as a pilot with Qantas has been fantastic, and please accept on behalf of all of us our thanks for your efforts. But you're out the door now, so who's replacing you?
Well, we will definitely miss him.
Absolutely.
So we've got a new manager starting, and his name is Nathaniel Roberts. He actually starts next Monday, the 15th of July, and Hugh will be retiring from APA on the 16th of August. Nathaniel has a background as a British Royal Air Force pilot. He's held several supervisory roles in squadrons and CRM instructor work and has dealt with many welfare issues in the past. So we're looking forward to Nathaniel starting on Monday, but sad to see Hugh leave a month later.
What are you going to miss most about the job, Hugh?
Well, yes.
Dana's
already taken my words away out of my mouth. I've had some great colleagues here at APA. I couldn't ask for Shane and I have worked together, believe it or not, going back many years to in the 1990s when I was the welfare director at APA. For 3 years, Shane was in HR at Flight Ops, so we've known each other for a long time, and Shane is a wonderful resource, and, you know, I'll miss their company, their sense of humour. They give you a hard time, keep me on the straight and narrow, but they're one of the things I'll miss greatly. But also, I'll, to a degree, miss the work. It's been a very rewarding time for me here in APA. I left Qantas due to CASA, and it was a difficult time for me, but APA has given me much, and I hope I have repaid that in some way and given good service to the members, and I appreciate and wish them all the very best.
And obviously you feel you're leaving the place in better order than when you found it.
I believe so, yes.
Now, is there anything, I guess I've asked some questions, is there any other messaging or anything else either all three of you would like to add just about the portfolio that you work in?
Yeah, Mark, I just want to clarify as well. I'm not sure if I mentioned it earlier. Is the team available 24/7? Yes, we are. I think I touched on that.
Yep.
The welfare team is available 24/7 Monday to Friday until approximately 5 p.m. Then we've got weekend phone coverage is by our welfare volunteers who are manning the phones over the weekend. So we're very grateful to our volunteers who do an amazing job. But just to bring that to the attention as well of our members, in case they ring up on the weekend and don't find us, it's someone else.
Yep.
But we just want to flag that as well.
So how many volunteers do you have out of interest?
We have 10 volunteer pilot. We have 9 pilot volunteers and a partner volunteer,
mm-hmm.
and they take over the phone from Friday night until Monday morning. If someone's available. Sometimes there's not, and one of us will do the weekends,
yep.
but that's very rare that we can't have a volunteer do the weekends for us.
Right, and obviously they are also bound by that same confidentiality that we've been talking about through the whole interview.
Yes, and they don't have access to our note-taking database either. So if they speak to someone on a weekend, Hughes normally had the phone on a Monday, it's now Nada, and they would pass on any cases that they took over the weekend and give the information over. But they don't have access to our database. And they've all done the PAN training course as well.
Now, you just mentioned an interesting thing there. You mentioned that you've got one partner volunteer. Welfare is also available to partners if it's required?
Yes, partners and families.
Does that happen very often?
We do get some partners who are ill. We also have partners who will ring up concerned about their partner, who's a pilot, but we would get permission, we'll listen to them, but we would talk to the pilot as well, just to make sure that we've got permission to talk to their partner. But yes, it does happen.
All right. Well, thanks very much for your time today to talk about the welfare portfolio. As I said, I think I have used this line before that, you know, a lot of our members potentially don't think they need it or never will be an issue for them until it is. And then it really becomes an important portfolio that can help them and really give them some guidance and support through a difficult time. So thanks to the three of you for your work. As I said, Hugh, we wish you all the best with your retirement. And look forward to meeting Nat in the future when he joins next week. So thanks very much for your time and all the best.
Cheers. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.
All right, that's enough for today's chat with our welfare team. We'll be back soon with another podcast. In the meantime, fly safe and stick with it.